Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Okay, we're back with Pablo, and we were discussing this interesting area of the challenge of that we have every day. Not only with our business, with our family, with our of communicating, listening, etc. As you were saying, you know, you go from being an effective problem solver in your firm and architectural, and then you move on to your entrepreneurial stage where you have your own firm, and then you have this new level of beyond just solving client problems, you then have to administer an office, a business, with all that entails of evaluating people and recruiting people and marketing and billing and collecting and complying with all the legal requirements and all of this area. And I put that then being a successful, because you have to be effective dealing with your practice and with your particular client. But then you have this business, and you have to be then successful in a business, and that just entails so much more complexity.
And there's a threat. There's a trap also, because then when you are a success, nothing fails like success. Because you get into the comfort zone and you get into complacency, you fall into the trap of complacency, and then you have to right there and then reinvent yourself and be innovative in unsuspected ways. So that's another challenge. But if let me go back to something you mentioned. You talk about persuasion, and I think it's right. You're saying it's right to say that it's complex, but it's doable. For example, the concept of ripeness. Some people say, I haven't been able, I have been trying with all my heart and mind to solve this problem, and it's more compounded. Maybe it's because it's not ripe. It's the concept of ripeness. Sometimes you have to get back, stay back, and let things cool off. And what does ripeness mean? It means that maybe some of the parties or one of the parties in the conflict thinks that if he or she continues the belligerent position, he or she will win. So once both parties come to a realization that the continuation of the conflict is too costly, that's the moment you can bring them back to the table. And that's the moment to really intervene.
Reading the article on the California Compromise, I think Jerry Brown's statement was they both were ready to fight, and they knew this fight was going to be really tough, and that was the moment to reach an agreement. And that happens.
Absolutely
an awful
right.
Lot.
And also one thing you mentioned, for example, communication. We haven't, communication, it's not value neutral. And I think from my perspective, Jorge, nobody convinces anyone. When you make a statement or make a claim, you have to back it up with strong, rational arguments. But those arguments have to be backed by evidence that will sustain by itself, so that people can come to their own conclusions, and that's great, because then you can take out of the equation the most dangerous contaminant, which is emotions.
Right, that's what kills us, and we all suffer from that. Pablo, going back to your practice and your experience, you then fight through and
that's the right word.
Fight through to become a successful firm in terms of these other things that you have to do besides the architectural work and design work itself. Yeah, all these other areas that we talked about, once you get moving, you have relatively success. What are the things you have to be worried or look out for? What can happen in terms of your experience? Things don't continue always in a nice, smooth way. Sometimes some major obstacles or things you didn't foresee happen.
There are many.
Can you think?
Yes.
What happened?
Many hurdles. And I think you have to have your radar on all the time. The wind changes, Jorge, and you cannot change the wind. You have to change the sails. Okay, and that happened to me. Some bug inside me told me. I started perceiving there in Puerto Rico things are changing. I need to enhance my skills, augment my offer. I have to start thinking beyond the box. Don't ask me why. I just felt it. Mm-hmm. I just felt it. So in 2004, I went back to study, and I went to Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, and got a master's degree in international relations because I wanted to export services, and that was an awesome experience, incredibly fascinating because I learned about what was going on in the world, which was globalization, and the free trade agreements, and the international, transnational issues, environmental issues. For example, their migratory species. You think these are my fishes, are my birds? Yes, they are for 6 months only.
Right.
The rest of the year is belongs to the other country. Water. And there's so many issues.
And in the Fletcher, this is part of the Tufts. They had a program on conflict resolution.
Oh yes, international. International.
You had taken courses in that before, or that's where?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You had taken courses before, and this was there were additional courses at Fletcher on that.
Originally, I had been attended to the program, the Harvard, MIT, and Tufts program on negotiation.
You had done that before.
Before. Okay. And their emphasis is more on business. A conflict and negotiation, but when I went to Fletcher, that the international and complex emergencies and crisis negotiation, which is fascinating topic,
okay.
And how to, you know, to deal really with really protracted conflicts like life and death, and that type of thing. But the principles are the same; they apply to the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians as it applies to my son and my daughter when I have to grant them a permit.
No, it's the same. It sounds more exciting, but it's more difficult.
The children
is more difficult. That's just about every day, isn't it? It's a this idea combining conflict resolution and education. We had met six, seven years ago, and we were. It had these things in common, and little by little, we got involved in an organization called the United Nations Association, the Puerto Rico chapter, and what brought us together, brought us again together with respect to this institution that I started presiding in December, and the goal there is, as we saw, It had been already a goal of the association, but we're trying to bring it to a new level, is to bring the Model UN program. This is a program where students are assigned a country based on an issue that is a worldwide issue, and they then research that, submit their proposal, which may not be what they personally, you know, believe in, but what their country that they've been assigned believe in. So you have to step in the shoes of someone else, of another entity, and espouse that position, and then you have to negotiate and listen and reach a consensus and then put together a resolution. So these are critical thinking paths, and we thought that although they're being done, the Model UN is being done in certain schools, some 25, 30 schools, we wanted to bring that experience to the public schools. That's where we're working together on the board on that. And in terms of you know, where you brought in, you studied the conflict resolution, Harvard, MIT, and Tufts, and then you studied international diplomacy. So your experience as you've gone to some of the conferences and some of the workshops, we're doing.
I feel so proud and so close to my heart, you know, and I really thank you for inviting me to participate and be a member of the board of the UN USA program, because I truly believe it's unique. It's really unique because it provides a global perspective to young people. I've seen them in action I would urge everybody and your distinguished audience to really take a look at this program. They deal with very real international situations, international economics, international finance, international conflict, environmental issues, so security issues, which are so real and which are very high level topics. Than when you see, when I saw these kids, young kids, really, they were so well informed. Their demeanor was, they behaved like statesmen. It's really impressive.
You were in fact a moderator, no?
I was.
A moderator in one of the things. What was nuclear proliferation? Was this Korean example? Was that?
Yeah. There was once one of the classrooms. They were discussing the six-party talks, which was a hot topic at the moment, and I was impressed. You know, that was the conflict with North Korea and the nuclear arms proliferation, and they were so well informed. And they got to so practical and real conclusions that I was impressed. But let me share, you know, another thing here is that I truly believe another of our passions is education, and not necessarily for you know that's a no-brainer, you know, to be
like motherhood and apple pie.
Exactly, but you know why? The thing is, the main driver of the GDP and the GDP per capita is innovation and productivity of the human resource. But if you do a reverse engineering, no human resource, no person can be productive if it's not well educated. You know, so really, the underlying topic, I would say the most important thing to be competitive individually and collectively is a world-class education. And I think the UN program complements, gives a global perspective, which we are in dire need of expanding.
And in the chamber, and I participated in the summit on education. You brought the Canadian experience, and it was a tremendous conference. Then you had another conference last year, which combined education and
the E3 summit, highly successful.
What we have to do here in Puerto Rico, everybody knows that education is the key, and as I said, that's motherhood and apple pie, and no one will argue. And it's in the States, and it's worldwide. And but the thing is, we have to do something. You know, we can't just talk. And of course, something like the United Nations is we know it's not going to solve the world. It's not going to solve the situation. But it's our little, grain of salt that helps. And if everybody does a little bit on it, then if a lot do a little, we're going to do that.
Let me share one comment. Sure. Education is, who's going to argue against education? Nobody. But what we're doing here now, Jorge, and you're contributing to it, and we are also, is to make the connection. Without education, there cannot be prosperity or quality of life, because the socioeconomic elevator of any nation, you eradicate poverty and you create equal opportunity with education. I think Ben Bernanke said these words: "What we cannot guarantee equality of results. What we have to guarantee is equality of opportunity. Because at the end of the day, success depends on the effort and education of the human being."
And together with that, education, not only bringing it to public schools, but one of my, based on, and some time I'll tell the story, but based on my past experience, is that there's the education, which is what I call the standardized or objective education, versus this critical thinking and communication skills that are really essential. That we talked about, the difference of being just an expert and then being really successful, which requires the communication skills. So we have to do that, and right now in the United States, the No Child Left Behind, and try everybody, not everybody, again, you never have to say it, and everybody, but there is a consensus that the standardized test, there has to be some changes to that, and we have to bring in, because basically what they say is you then educate to the test. And you lower your standards, and you lose a lot of this critical thing in communication because you just have these multiple choice and memorization, and you don't create the kind of citizen that we need, a thinking.
Jorge, that's a very provocative statement. That's a very provocative statement because today what you need, the attributes, competencies, and skills that you need are much more than science and math. You need what they are called, you need the hard skills, but you need also the soft skills, which are conflict and negotiation, teamwork, the ability to work with people. You need so many other emotional, you need IQ, but you also need EQ, emotional intelligence,
right,
to really, really deal. So it's a plethora of attributes. Science, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math is important, but you need to augment that with soft skills.
There's a great book that my brother who lives in London kept on insisting, and I think it's the fourth time when he told me, "Have you read the book?" And he's never told me about reading a book, and I said, "Well, if he's after one book and he keeps on after me, it's called The Whole Mind, WHOLE. It's by Dan Pink, and it goes into, you know, in this new world after the knowledge economy, this new development of the left brain, storytelling and symphony and teamwork and empathy and all these communicating skills are going to be really gonna be the difference. So that program and all and in terms of the people out there listening and saying, well, you know, how can I get involved? Well, the United Nations, what we need is schools. Public schools, help us identify and recruit the public schools for this program. And what we're trying to do is get the business people to get involved with the public schools, not only to offer scholarships so that these students can go through this program over the academic year, but to go beyond just this program and get involved in the schools. And we're gonna bring in later on people who have gotten involved and how satisfying that is, and that's what we need to do in Puerto Rico. Get involved and get involved in these critical areas.
You mentioned that people we have to do something more than talking. You mentioned it a while ago, and I think along that alley, and people also maybe are a little bit tired about talking, and they want action. But let me share with you something. I would recommend Malcolm Gladwell's. Malcolm Gladwell has three books. One of them is The Tipping Point.
Right.
And if you see the cover of the book, it has a match, a small match. And the message of that symbol is that to trigger a forest fire, you don't need a flamethrower. You just need a small match.
Right.
So what I'm saying here is that I think we have failed, and we're trying to do too many things at the same time. For example, if you study a pilot in an airplane, before taking off, he only addresses 7 or 8 points.
Right.
You know, he doesn't address, when he is up to 30,000 feet, then he addresses the other 10 or 15 points. And so forth and so on. So I think we extend ourselves and dilute ourselves in too many things at the same time. And I think we have to hyper focus and really act on tipping point things that will trigger other aspects.
Yeah, in terms of, we've had that experience with the United Nations. We're coming close to the end of the program. I just want to give you an opportunity to, in terms of what you're doing now, in terms of from a personal or a professional or in your organizations besides the United Nations, if anything you want to share with the audience as a challenge. So we have only a minute, so quickly.
Quickly. Oh, well, first of all, thank you. And this has been a very exciting conversation. But I think we have to start doing hyper-focusing.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and wrap it up with
sure.
Thank you.
More.